The following is a presentation of the Ed Boston Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast today. We have a returning guest, and I should say a multiple-time returning guest with us. We have Natasha Owens. Hi, Natasha.
Yes, hello. It's good to talk to you guys again.
It is always great to hear from you. Wow, new album out.
Album called Stand. The first song that was written for this album was Stand, and we put it out last March in the midst of the pandemic. We sent the single to radio, and everyone thought that it was just for this time. It was for the pandemic, but I didn't write it for the pandemic, but it is a song about being a light in the midst of the darkness. So everyone gravitated toward it during this tough time, you know, in our world and in our country. I wrote it whenever I heard the news of Virginia and New York doing the full-term abortions, and it just broke my heart. I just thought that was just another level that I had never seen out there of evil. And so we wrote a song. It's really from the verse in Isaiah that says, if you do not stand on your foundation, you will not stand at all. And it's kind of an anthem to the churches and to the Christians to stand up and fight for their fundamental beliefs, their true foundation. And if we do that, we will not fall.
You just released the single Lion. Tell us about that.
So I'm a very visual person, and I'm always taking screenshots of different pictures and buying different pictures. And I had a picture on my phone of this little lion cub and with a big daddy lion behind it. And the caption said, if the devil knew who my daddy was, he wouldn't mess with me. And I said, you know, Jesus is, and God is so, we picture him to be very compassionate and the lamb and very passive and gentle, which he is. That is a side of God that is there. But he is also a lion, and he's very protective, and he will go to the ends of the earth to protect his babies. And he's a defender. And so I said, we need to have a song that represents this side of God, to know that God is out on the battlefield fighting for us, just like a lion would.
That's an amazing look at so many different aspects of our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We talked a little bit off air about you being busy last year when things were quiet for most people. So go back and tell us about the recording of this album and how that all took place during a time where most people had some downtime.
Well, of course, in the entertainment business, in the singing business, you know, it came to a halt at the end of February. And our entire year, like everyone else's, was completely came to a stop. So, you know, ordinarily, that would be the time, since it's been so busy for 8 years, to just sit back and say, let's catch our breath and rest, which the Bible says we need to do. But I am not that type of person. I have to have something going. So we wanted to hit our bucket list of I've always wanted to do a Christmas album and never had the time to do it. And so we did a 10-song Christmas album that came out in November. This year we're adding four Christmas songs to that and releasing a deluxe album. So we worked on the Christmas album, we worked on this new album, Stand, which has 12 songs on it, 11 plus a Warrior Live. We wanted to do a live version of that song. And on a personal note, we sold two houses, bought one, moved closer into town, and let's see, I had another ankle surgery in the midst of last year, so we just stayed absolutely cram-packed the entire year, and now I'm kind of regretting that, because now it's ramping back up and getting busy, and I sure could use a little bit of rest now, you know?
Ramping back up, you're going to be on the road doing some festivals, and the press release I have says you'll be sharing the main stage with Michael W. Smith, Newsboys, Danny Gokey, Matthew West. Man, I'm out of breath. Just
a lot of names.
Yeah, Skillet, Mandisa, and more.
Yeah, our festival tour this year, this summer, started in Wisconsin, and I've never been a part of a festival so massive. Life Fest is huge, and if you're in Wisconsin, 30,000 people were there. 15,000 RVs that stayed the entire weekend. It was the coolest festival I've ever been a part of. So that was a really cool thing to start out the festivals. And the touring, that was the very first date this year that many of us have gotten to tour. or got to sing on the platform. I had a Christmas tour, which most people didn't, so I got a little bit more in the past year. But then we went to Nashville to Life Fest on Johnny Cash's property, and that was really neat. Mm. I got to see a lot of people in the industry that I haven't seen in a while. And now we're heading up to Massachusetts to have a festival up there in about a week and a half. So that will be the last festival, and then fall tour will start in October, and that will lead us to Christmas tour in December.
Oh, and in the midst of all that, you're going to host a National Christian Women's Conference?
Yes, sir, I am. We do the Warrior events and have done them for a couple years across the United States. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that the mama in the family, I guess because I'm a mama, is the glue and the strength that really holds the family together. So if you can strengthen that mama, you've strengthened the family. And so I have linked with Encouragement Cafe on the East Coast, and they're doing these women's conferences with me just to bring hope and excitement that God is so good and can give you strength and strengthen these females and these mamas out there.
Well, I believe the very first time we talked, we had a long discussion about your father and his passing, and I know the mental health issue is near and dear to your heart. Yes. Tell us a little bit about that right now.
You know, the past 18 months have absolutely been horrifying for me because, you know, you're off the road. There's no one that's doing events. There's no one that will give you a platform to talk about mental health. And you just, you know, the goal has been to shut people in without human contact. Suicide mental health prior to the last 18 months is a big issue in this world, because a lot of times the Christian community, they don't really want to face mental health. It's very faith-based. And so they, you know, it's, well, you don't have enough faith, or you just need to pray more. But sometimes there is mental health issues that are beyond a person being able to overcome, and they need help. And whether it's a traumatic experience like me with my dad dying suddenly and me going through shock, or someone who had, you know, has had a horrible childhood or something that they just can't quite get over and can't quite give to God, they will turn to suicide. They'll turn to alcohol and drugs, and when those two things don't work, then suicide comes right behind it. We've had a 93% increase in mental health and suicides just in the past 18 months, and that statistic is horrifying to me. When you close the church doors, this is what happens, because everyone knows that they can at least run into a church when they need help, and when those doors are locked, it does more harm to the community than good. So I'm praying that it doesn't matter what comes our way in this country, that churches will stand up and at least not lock their doors, and that the church itself locally will start incorporating programs and initiatives to really help mental health in the community. Everybody's struggling with something. Just, if nothing else, fear is causing mental health.
Well, I like the way that you come across with that, as there's a lot of reasons to be upset about the church closing their doors. But yeah. I mean, this is very practical and very, I mean, I've never actually even thought of it through the mental health line. And being a person that, well, I suffer with depression and anxiety myself, and have actually been disabled with that for many years. And people do what you said. They say things like, your faith isn't strong enough. And I'm thinking, if my faith was strong enough to get me through this, do you think I wouldn't have done that years ago? But the church being a release for people that suffer from and those kind of things. And when you see, it's almost even like using the words mental illness, that makes, has such a bad connotation to it in society. And
people very uncomfortable.
And this is one of the very first times, and I've done over 2,000 podcasts, that I've ever even talked much about that on one of the podcasts. So thank you for your...
You're welcome. And another thing, Christians sometimes have a stigma about medicine as well. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that God gave that wisdom and knowledge to those creators to create medicines that help. My son is, my oldest son is very dyslexic and dysgraphic, and he had a very tough time in school. His anxiety would just go through the roof. And when my dad was alive, he worked for a pharmaceutical company. And I was really hesitant about putting him on any kind of medicine, you know, because it's the mental health stigma out there, especially 10 years ago. And my dad said, or this was more like 15, my dad said, you know, Tosh, you wouldn't blink twice if you had a heart issue and you needed a heart medication or a blood pressure medication or a Tylenol for a headache. Can you imagine how he feels on the inside? If there is something out there to make him feel better, try it. It's the same as medication for a heart or disease or anything that, you know, some of the people would point a finger at me and say, why are you giving him that when they're on a whole list of medications? So it, but it's because it's mental health, right? Mm-hmm. And I just think that the society as a whole, as well as the church members, need to be educated about mental health. And it's not a stigma. Sometimes there's just a chemical imbalance that just needs to be put back in normal range.
And that's basically where I am. I had a trigger much like you did, not quite as drastic, but much like you did. And I've tried going off my meds, and that was not a good thing. It really was not. And I've had somebody explain it to me the way you did with heart medication, as in diabetes and taking your insulin and those kinds of things. Nobody ever looks down upon that, and they shouldn't look down upon that. It's a health issue as well as a mental health issue. You know, it's a diabetes, it's a diabetes issue, and it's a health issue. And then it's a depression issue and an anxiety issue and a health issue. So
if it makes someone feel better and it gets to the root, if nothing else, temporarily, of helping that person survive every day, because we all know that mental health issues and depression lead to suicide. If it can be a prevention of that until the person can get stronger, I'm not saying that God can't heal that person. He absolutely can.
Absolutely.
But sometimes you just need a little bit of help. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. Well, we got away from the album, and that's okay from my end. I hope it was okay from your end.
Absolutely.
And thank you again for your stand on this issue and all the different things that you do. I know you do more than just talk about it on a podcast every once in a while. So thank you.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity not only to spread my message and my testimony, but to spread topics that are close to my heart, like mental health. I appreciate it.
So I maybe should know the answer to this already, but on the list of songs on Stand, they're all one word. Is that an ongoing thing with you, or is this new in this album?
This is new in this album. It started out with Stand being the first one, then Treasure being the second song. They were singles that didn't quite have a home yet. And my producer said, hey, Tosh, we've got this one word thing going from Warrior to Stand to Treasure. How about we just keep that going and do something different? Because I've never seen that in the Christian genre or any other genre of music where they just went with one word. So we kind of just did it as a marketing thing. It kind of looked cool to do that. Now, it was difficult at times to try to name songs with pulling out just one word, you know? It goes against, normally I like long titles. I want to know what the song's about in the title, right? But I thought it was kind of cool. It definitely looks very clean on the back of the album.
Well, you are back with Radiate Music, and you also got to work with a longtime friend and fellow songwriter, producer, Ian. Tell us about those things.
You know, he's amazing. I've had a few producers along the way with my albums, from Jacob Lowry to Ed Cash. And for the Warrior Project, we linked up, didn't know him, but knew of him and knew of his reputation and his accomplishments. And we walked in, and I just didn't have a vision for that album. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to really write about. And that vision came very evident by the end of the first day. We wrote 5 songs the first day and 4 songs the next day.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing. We had a full album in less than 36 hours. Something about Ian, me, myself, and my husband, when we get in an area in a room together and start talking about the goodness of God and how great He is, God just shows up and it just starts flowing, you know? And we knew from that first day, we just fell in love with Him and felt like that He was family to us. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, I mean, He's become a best friend. And so we just continue to write from the Christmas album. And now this is the 3rd album with Him being Stand. And it's just a combination that works. And I guess if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
That's right. Now pronounce his last name for me so I don't mess it up.
It's Eskelin.
Ian Eskelin. And he's a multiple Dove Award winner. And that's quite a resume just in them 3 words.
Yeah, he has been responsible for all kinds of songs that you know, like God is on the Move and Just Say Jesus. And all of Francesca Battistelli's, he's done all her 9 albums and written the majority of the songs. And he's got a little reputation, but he's the most humble and awesome man that you have ever met. Like, he is just, I can't say enough about him.
Well, we always try to give a chance to let you give a shout out to your social media and things like that. So where can we find Stand and where can we find out more about Natasha?
You know, the one center place that I send everybody to is my website. It's NatashaOwensMusic.com. You can buy product, you can see tour schedule, you can buy any kind of any music, any of the albums. And then it also sends you out to all my social media and where you can hear my music. Anywhere you listen to music, you can find it, from Spotify to Apple Music to iTunes, Amazon. It's all out there. Facebook is Natasha Owens Music. And I think Twitter is like Tasha Owens Music. It's a little different because there was already a Natasha. But if you go to my website, you will find me.
And I've been there, and it is a wonderful website, easy to get around.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm a 80s child, so I'm good with technology, but not quite as good as my kids. And I just love everything to be easy and user-friendly. So that was the goal with that site. If I can get on it and master it, anybody can.
Well, as a pastor, people like to use the KISS acronym for me. Keep it short.
And sweet.
Yeah, there you go. I love that. I love that, Natasha. That is great.
I do too. You're a KISS pastor. That's great. I'm going to start using that.
Simple could go in there. Keep it simple. And that's kind of what I like to think of it as. I try to keep things as simple as possible.
We live in a society today that, you know, the attention spans the attention span of a gnat. You know, they want everything so quickly, this generation. And so at their, you have to make it short and sweet in order to really capture their attention for any length of time. At least my kids.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all's.
But you do not know how funny it is that you just said the attention span of a gnat. We've got a 77-year-old man in our congregation, and we call him Ernie-isms. And he is constantly saying things, the attention span of a gnat. He's used that before. He said one time, my patients wear so thin as the skin of a mosquito over the Titanic. I mean, he's always coming up with that. So I like.
And I used to say it to them as kids, but they didn't remember. My dad was from Mississippi, and he had all those little Southern sayings. And it was raining with the sun out. Have you heard this one?
No.
And my dad would always say, the devil's beaten his wife because she burnt the cornbread. Does it really make a lick of sense? Other than the heat and the tears of the rain. But my son said, what did you just say? How does that make sense? And I said, I don't know. It's just an old Southern saying. Every time you see the sun out with it raining.
Now, you gave yourself away altogether about being a Southern person when you said it doesn't make a lick of sense.
A lick of sense.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap things up here. It's always great to talk with you. Can I pray with you before we go?
Yeah, please.
Father, I just come to you with my good friend Natasha here. It's always a pleasure to talk with her. And I this is either the third or the fourth time, and every time it just seems to get better. I thank you for her talents and the way she uses her voice and her songwriting abilities, the way that she cares about others through her conferences and her being so willing to tackle the mental health issue. Thank you, Father, for all that she does. I ask a blessing over her husband today as he went through surgery and helped that knee to recover. And we know that it's just kind of a stopgap until he has a major surgery in a couple years, but help him heal, be with her, the rest of her family. And Father, I pray for the success of this album, not for glory or not for money or any of those things, but Father, the success of reaching the lost and reaching those who need to hear the story of this album. Thank you, Father. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, tell me one last thing here. You mentioned it off air before we started. You have this really cool, you know, cassette, USB. Tell me about that.
People have been shocked on the road so far because, you know, I'm an 80s kid and I love anything that's from the 80s or just different or unique stuff that you don't normally see. And now that they're building these new cars without CD players, it's just a whole corrupt thing that they're just trying to push out CDs. And I love CDs. You know, I endured 8-track tapes.
Yes.
To get to the cassette, to get to the disc. So I love CD disc. I just love the intellectual property to be able to hold them and read about them, you know, in the booklet. Anyway, but I'm old school. So we had to figure out a way to deliver the CD if someone did not want to download it on their phone. And we made these that they look like cassettes, and they're in the packaging of like a cassette case and tray. But it's a USB that pulls out of the bottom of it, and you can plug them directly into your car or your computer and play the album. So we just thought it was just a neat marketing thing that we haven't seen before.